The United Nations office in Pyongyang today issued a report on the food situation in North Korea. It said the North Korean government had confirmed what the international community had been warning for months, that this year's harvest will only be between 10% and 30% of last year's. The summer's harvest ran out in January. And since then, North Koreans have been living largely on food aid from abroad. That's about 5 ounces of food a day, roughly a large handful of rice. The situation is so bad that more people are crossing North Korea's border into northeastern China, where NPR's Rob Gifford reports.
On a freezing moonlit night in March this year, a 19-year-old North Korean hid in the trees beside the Tumen River that divides North Korea from China. At its narrowest, the river is less than 40 yards wide, and it's frozen in winter. Wearing just tattered clothes and only a pair of flimsy cloth shoes, he stood up and sprinted across the ice. I thought I'd be shot by the soldiers, says the boy, who won't give his real name but says call him Samuel. I knew I had to try to escape North Korea, he says. He made it to the Chinese side and hooked up with the underground network of fugitive North Koreans in the villages and towns of northeastern China. Estimates range between 150 and 300,000 people who've fled their homeland. Chinese towns in the region may have their problems, but there is at least plentiful food in the bustling markets, unlike in North Korea. Vegetables, fruit and meat all laid out on market stalls, paradise for the starving visitors. But North Koreans like Samuel must be extremely careful about visiting such public places. Now, with two North Korean friends, he sits nervously in an apartment with the curtains closed. All three are 19 years old, but none of them looks more than about 13, victims of severe childhood malnutrition. They've agreed to talk to a Western reporter despite the dangers to them if they're caught. The situation is desperate in North Korea, says Samuel. People are literally starving to death. We were eating grass and tree bark to survive. But not long after he arrived in China, he ran into a security clampdown. Chinese police started to round up more North Koreans than usual and send them back. Observers believe it's partly because of pressure from Pyongyang. The Chinese will not call the migrants refugees. Beijing fears a deluge of North Koreans if it allows the UN High Commissioner for Refugees to set up camps on the border, as international organizations demand. Samuel's friend David has already been caught once in China. He was interrogated by Chinese police. He says they tied him to a chair and administered shocks with electric cattle prods to force him to reveal who had helped him in China. The more he resisted, he says, the more they beat him. Finally, they repatriated him to North Korea, where he was sent immediately to a labor camp. But he managed to escape, and he crossed the Tumen River again. The starving, penniless North Koreans who cross into China are vulnerable to a growing underworld of gangsters and pimps who sometimes force them into prostitution or into work as pickpockets. But if they're lucky, like these three boys, they'll encounter another much friendlier group, the Chinese Christian Church. At one of the region's main churches, the children's choir rehearses its hymns. The church is booming in northeastern China. And North Koreans say if they know one thing when they cross the border, it's this. Head for a building with a cross on the roof and you'll find help. The Chinese police recently swooped on this church, knowing it to be a center of assistance to North Koreans. They rounded up several children who were sent straight back across the border. The situation is dangerous not only for the refugees. Last month, the body of a South Korean pastor, one of many who'd come here to give humanitarian assistance, was found dumped in an alleyway in one of the region's main cities. No one knows what happened to him, but some local residents think he was killed by North Korean agents. Woo Mingyu is a typical member of the Christian network that's helping the North Koreans. Wu's a Chinese citizen, but like 40% of Chinese in the area, he's ethnically Korean. He says his Christian faith has been his motivation for helping North Koreans for more than a decade. Wu does not want his real name used, but he defiantly tells of the help the church gives North Korean refugees. Because of the lack of medical facilities in North Korea, many of those who escape have tuberculosis or hepatitis when they arrive. Wu knows sympathetic medical people in the area and helps put needy North Koreans in touch with the many underground clinics which serve them in China. There's also a network to get North Koreans out of China, to Mongolia or Thailand, and then to South Korea. Life is dangerous for Chinese Christians too, he says. Just this year, a woman who was helping North Koreans to escape was snatched in China and taken to North Korea, where she was badly tortured. She was released when foreign Christians heard of her plight and paid a ransom. Wu says he opposes the Chinese government sending anyone back to North Korea. But he says Beijing's policies could be a lot worse. He estimates they only send back about 5% of the hundreds of thousands of refugees that come across the border. To the rest, Beijing turns a blind eye, he says. And by doing so, the Chinese government is in fact saving many lives. Some diplomats in Beijing agree. But Bill Frelich, policy director of the U.S. Committee for Refugees in Washington, D.C., says China has responsibilities under international treaties it has signed.
China is a signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention, which prohibits the return of a person to persecution. We estimate, again, conservatively, because the information is very sketchy, that at least 6,000 people were forcibly returned last year. China is not fulfilling its obligations. China also lacks, within its own domestic legislation, any procedure for determining refugee claims.
Beijing does not want to see its impoverished neighbor collapse. Chinese President Jiang Zemin is likely to visit North Korea later this year and to embrace as a brother the dear leader Kim Jong-il. That's not something that Samuel or David or any of the hundreds of thousands fleeing North Korea want to do. Kim Jong-il has killed many North Koreans for no reason, says Samuel. People can't say it publicly, of course, but silently they all hate him and they all want to kill him. Rob Gifford, NPR News, on the border between China and North Korea.